Talk of Connecticut.
You know, when you stop to look at a picture, and I am right now looking at a picture of the one and only Will-O-The-Wisp, Willie Pep. And the reason that I'm looking at Willie's picture is because I knew him well. We were very, very good friends. And he is actually buried in a cemetery that is a very, very a famous one for people. And my very, very special guest, Dan Baldwin, is going to introduce you.
That's right. We've got Willie's there. A lot of people are there. Some famous people. Everybody's famous at Rose Hill. And to talk more about that, Maria Librio is the president. And Maria is just a spitfire. And she's taken over this project, and I just thought it would be great to talk about not only what a great asset that this is as a memorial park, Rose Hill is, to the state of Connecticut. Yeah. It's people go there to enjoy the scenery, to enjoy the background, all the great things that are happening there. But then we've got some other things to talk about. So, Maria, I'll let you do most of the talking. Thanks for being on at this nice, bright hour on a nice Friday morning. The ferry's running today. We'll get more to the ferry. So thanks for being here with Brad and I.
Good morning. Good morning to you both.
So why don't you just start by telling our listeners a little bit about, for those folks who haven't visited, and it's amazing how many people have, you know, what does it look like? What is it, what is the endearment of this special place?
Well, it was founded in 1932. And unlike many of the cemeteries that we're accustomed to here in New England especially, it doesn't have headstones. It is all flat, and that is the designation of a memorial park, where it is a cemetery, but it is flat markers, so they actually are all bronze. And it looks like a park. If you drove in, you might not even realize that it was a cemetery. To the left is our funeral home, so you would notice that, and then you would see this giant space with trees, and it's beautiful. And it is, our cemetery is 140 acres worth.
140 acres.
140 acres?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot to keep up, but I think our guys do a great job.
And you know, the reason, and my dear friend here, who's with me on the radio this morning, I will never forget one of my best friends, Willie Pep, and I know that Willie
is buried
there. Yeah.
Yes. You know, everybody is somebody to somebody.
Yeah.
Right? And from my perspective, you know, we were trying to find people, and obviously Willie is a major person in our community. And learning about his story a little bit more as I started doing this project, it was amazing, and it was amazing how many people knew him. So he certainly was more than just this athlete.
Well, and Maria does her homework. They just recently, at Rose Hill, they did a reenactment where people from community theater or people that have one, you know, somebody who might be buried there, they brought them back to life. So Willie was one of them, but there were other people. Like Maria just said, everybody's special to somebody, and whether it was, you know, the woman who was one of the owners, and she and her husband ran Rose Hill. So it was really, really neat. And Maria did a lot of research with these folks on finding out who they were. There was another young gentleman who was in the war and told the story of how he passed, and
that was really another unique thing.
Yeah.
So the people who ran it, and actually the cemetery itself is a not-for-profit that the Bullocks ran, and then they had their companies, the funeral home, and there's a bronze company. They just did so many amazing things. So this young gentleman, Thomas Fritsch, died in the war, and he was 22 years old, but they put markers down for 57 Rocky Hill persons that did not come home. And the only person that we ended up getting that we know of was 37 years later, and through various treaties, he was brought home, and we buried him in a different section, and it's a wonderful story.
You hear that, Brad?
Yeah.
So the young man dies.
Unbelievable.
And his body comes home years later. And it's, you know, there's just really inspirational stories
and
there.
And this is one of the things that I wanted to ask you about. It seems that, I don't know if it's true or not, but more and more we are getting away from the way we actually put someone to rest.
We are. And from,
are we doing?
From
me, are we getting away from it?
Well, it's very odd because obviously you look at social media and whatever, and the perception of what's really happening isn't necessarily happening. But there is a move, especially with companies who don't like to give you, you know, time off. And, you know, and I understand, I mean, if I had to have a bunch of my people, we only have 17 employees total, you know, at any point in time be out, it's hard to run your business. And I completely understand that. But you can't get away from the grieving process. And as a child, and I'm going to date myself, I'm 54, I went every Sunday. My brother and I, my parents took us to the cemetery every Sunday, and we saw my grandparents there. I mean, they are buried, and it was a part of my life. And many people used to buy life insurance and a cemetery plot. Those were really important things that people saved for. And we've really gotten away from a lot of that. And then all of a sudden, there's this expense, and someone passes, and it's extraordinary, and it's very stressful, and it adds a lot more stress than people really sometimes can do. But you can't escape the grieving process. And I think people are sort of trying to do that. And they're using, there's money involved and what have you. And at the end of the day, you really do have to go through those stages. And somehow, some way, you will. It's the matter of how much time it takes. And where you are in the process as it happens, you know, who that person was it your child, which is devastating, you know, a parent or a grandparent that may be in their 90s has lived a great life. It still may be sad, but, you know, everybody has moments where it's a little bit different. And we have to, we recognize that as people come through, you know, our doors as well. You have to do it. And we try to find ways to help people do that. There are prepaid policies. There's all kinds of things that people can be doing. And then talking to your family, you know, what do you want? But when people don't bury, because a lot of people are cremating, they're not, there's no record of that person's burial. And a lot of people like ancestry. And you have to think, you know, 100 years from now, what is the technology going to be and what are people going to want to look up? And there's not going to be a record of that.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot to be said for history. That's mm-hmm. why we brought people back to life for a day.
Right.
To emphasize how important it is to remember.
Absolutely. And we're speaking with Maria Librio. She is the president of Rose Hill. And Rose Hill is a memorial park. And if you haven't seen it, you really should drive through.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's at 580 Elm Street in Rocky Hill. And they've also got a great website. But Maria brings up a good point. And this used to be a priority. This used to be one of the things that you thought about in the beginning. And when you wait until the end, I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm getting there now with, you know, elderly parents, and we all face that. So figuring out, you know, what do you want your legacy to be? And what do I want, right? Maria, it's also got to be the wishes of the person.
Ooh. It is. Ironically enough, I thought at some point I should walk through the process myself. I've watched it happen with my staff. And I sat with them and did a prepaid and did these things and figured out what would happen and how does this really work from the other side of the table. And then I ironically asked one of my cousins one day, was just kind of joking, and she said, "What do you mean you're not going to do this?" And then I listened to her, and it's, you know, it's for the living, not the deceased, many times, because we're the ones grieving if someone else has passed. And she was like, "I need this. I would need to be able to maybe see you." And if you think about funerals you've been to, there's a very different feeling you have, even if it's someone you don't know, whether it's an open casket, a closed casket, or an urn that you're walking into, whether it's a church service or a funeral service, or they don't do anything, or they just do a graveside burial. There's some great graveside services I've been to that are phenomenal, and they're not people I know. And it's a very different feeling. Well, then what would happen if it were you or one of your loved ones, your mom, your dad, your child? Mm-hmm. You know, what feeling do you think you need or people that are there are going to need to get through this, you know, horrible day?
How do we get it so it's the right way?
I don't know if you can get the right way, but I think you can talk about it. And another thing that people used to do, we used to talk about it. I mean, maybe because I was from an Italian family, it may have been more so, but I just think that the talking and not making it so sad, I guess, or devastating or off limits to talk about. I have a lot of young people that I have working for me, a lot of college kids that do summer stuff, and we do various breakfasts at various places, and I bring them. And when people see that they're okay working for me, they're okay at the cemetery and the funeral home, it gives a whole new meaning to having people of all ages come in to have that conversation. And it's just, it's important. It's important to have people walk around our cemetery and understand that it's okay to walk around a cemetery and enjoy its beauty and to meet people on the way. There's a lot of people that come to visit that they're sad. They're still sad after years and years and years. We portrayed one. She's come to us and she's our great friend, Pat. Now, but her son died almost 4 years ago in October, and she comes 14 times a day, 14 times a month, because he died on the 14th. And we've learned so much about her that I couldn't even think of not bringing her son back to life for a day when I did this project.
Right.
And it meant all the world to her. When people stop to talk to her, it brings meaning to her life. And that's what the cemetery can do. It can bring life, not just all about death.
About grief. And it's a process. So, well, Maria Librio, I want to thank you for being on and putting things in perspective. Again, Rose Hill Memorial Park, if you haven't been by there, it's gorgeous. You're doing some great things, restoring statues. You're putting in, you know,
the Columbarium.
Yep, the Columbarium. You're putting that in. It's at 580 Elm Street in Rocky Hill. So a lot of great things, a lot of great progress going on. So keep up the good work, and thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and we got a chance to think of Willie Pep again. Thank you.